me recording stuff being started.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. This is Grace and Muhammad. We'll wait just one more minute. We have the recording started. It's 11:03 UTC. We'll take, while we wait, we'll just take attendance for anyone who's on the phone only. I have Peter Van Rost for now.
Hi, this is Greg Shatton. I'm getting into Adobe, but not there yet.
Okay, thank you, Greg. And for everyone else, we'll make sure we take attendance based on the Adobe Connect room.
Okay. Hi, everyone. It's Jonathan Robinson. Welcome to the next meeting of the Cross-Community Working Group on the IANA Stewardship Transition. This is meeting 28, 12th of March, 2015. Thanks for bearing with us, those of you who were able to get in on time. I just wanted to give it a few minutes in order to ensure that we had as many people on as possible from the outset. We've got at least one person who is not muted, so if you could please just check that your microphone is muted so we get background noise. Please check your microphone is on mute, everyone. Thank you. Still got background noise. The ability to mute your microphone in the Adobe Connect in the top left-hand corner, as many of you will know. All right, so these meetings are coming thick and fast. We've got a face-to-face meeting a little over a week, around 10 days from now, and we really need to be in shape to have substantial content to discuss at that meeting. What will influence that is the progress we can make with the design teams and the work that they can bring to the group as a whole. So it's vital that anyone involved with design teams works hard and fast over the next 7 days, and anyone who's not involved in the design teams rolls up their sleeves and does get involved. We have a working list of design teams that you will have seen, and we'll come to that in item three. We've also got the overarching proposal, the draft proposal that's been circulated to you recently, the latest version thereof, which includes the risk to the design teams. We've had one or two comments on that, in particular in terms of the appropriate placement of the design teams in that document. Please treat it as a live document and feel free to contribute with like help, obviously. That's the purpose of this. This is a working group, not simply one to sit back and watch the progress. So really that's the theme of the meeting, is we need as much sleeves rolled up help as possible to actually produce valid, valuable and relevant content for the proposal. It's really about a more or less 7-day hard sprint, because if you think about it, it's clearly the 12th of March today. A week later, it's the 19th. We really need to be producing any content that's relevant to Istanbul by the end of next week, Friday 20th, because thereafter members of the group will start to travel or prepare for travel and be in a less likely position. So that really gives us a clear deadline of next week to get content, by the end of next week, to have content in a position to be useful in Istanbul. As I said on Tuesday, I think having talked with Lisa, our thinking is to dedicate at least half the meeting to processing and moving on the content arising from the design teams. I know that many of you are anxious to hear back and get some input from the legal advisors. They've started their work later than we might have originally hoped and anticipated, but I am still hopeful that we will be able to get some assistance in content from them, so we should have we should be in a position to spend some time dealing with preliminary input from them and starting to work that up and seeing how that stacks up against the different models that have been proposed. Overall, the work plan needs to take account of all of that clearly. We have an existing plan which envisages us producing a draft for public comment early in April. We are working to that plan at this stage, although it looks challenging to least. In terms of revising that, I think realistically we have to make an assessment as to how far we've got coming out of Istanbul. As I say, I'd encourage all of you to help and be as sleeves rolled up as possible in assisting us get as much progress as we possibly can in advance of Istanbul. And of course, during that intensive period of work. So that's really what I wanted to cover in the opening remarks, setting the scene, if you like. So let me pause for a moment and see if there are any thoughts or input that anyone would like to provide on the sort of overview and plans. I note that we've got the comment from Avri looking for some further input on communication and dependency and interlinking with the cross-community working group on accountability, and that's been put under AOB for now. We have a meeting scheduled between myself, Lisa, and the co-chairs of the CCWG tomorrow, so it may be that that's something we can pick that up under AOB and just make sure we cover what we need to there. Any other comments, questions put at this point? All right. Please do make yourselves known on the audio here. We quite often get comments on the email and then people don't necessarily speak up, but feel free to make yourselves and your views known. In particular, put your hand up for any areas you can assist. Right, so moving on then to the proposal 2.1. Oh, the objective here is to have a form of proposal that is both comparable to the existing proposals and responsive to the RFP, and moreover, gives us a map of work where we can see and others can see the emergence of a draft proposal that is suitable for ultimate submission to the RFP and that provides appropriate placeholders for the design teams to go into. So we had some what I thought was useful input from Kurt Pritz on this, who provided another view of this by just presenting a very simple structural map of how the design teams fit in. I thought that was a useful contribution to just view things from another perspective, highlighting four different categories of design team, one that related to the NTIA oversight tasks, one on monitoring IANA performance, one on the authorization function, one on approving operations changes to the IANA function, and one on in and around designating the IANA provider. So having had a chance to initially, and probably not in detail, view that latest iteration of our proposal, I'd love to hear if anyone's got any input or comment on structure, form, and detail content. Any comments or views on Kurt's overview? Is that helpful? Does it accord with your thinking? It's up in the Adobe room now. I don't know how many of you have had a chance to look at it. As I said, for me, in some ways, it was helpful. I certainly think it gives us some guidance as to where we go forward with the design teams. It feels to me like column on the left, monitoring IANA performance, is something we can work on almost in its entirety. So that gives myself and Lisa, I think, some guidance that design teams A, C, M, and N could well be worked on right away, and there's no reason why we shouldn't continue with those. And in terms of elements of the authorization function, in the next column D, that as an overall structure that may need some discussion. Certainly, the CSC feels like which we have already selected. So there's some interesting guidance there. Stefan, go ahead. Let me respond to your hand being up.
Thank you, Jonathan. Yeah, I'll just respond to your question. Yes, this is helpful, Kurt's map. And we've also been discussing this very briefly in Group C or DTC, CSC, whether to get hold of all issues so they don't fall between chairs and are being forgot, so to say. So this is a good macro help to do this. We also do need to do this in a more elaborate form, maybe between the design teams, but this is helpful. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Stefan, and particularly thanks, Kurt. I don't think Kurt is on the call. I suspect it's a little early in the day for him, but it's a useful, hopefully he picks this up on the recording and sees that. I noticed I'm wondering if there's any other comments I'd like to make. Has anyone else got any comments or suggestions? It would be very helpful if the design teams do look at this. I think it gives you a sense of where they may overlap. As I say, for me, most simply, it certainly gives a complete guidance as to what should be done under, or at least a good start on the completion of column A, which is monitoring IANA performance. It's not marked as such, but it's the first column, and some of the other areas, and seeing how they might overlap. Okay, well, I would encourage you all to please review that proposal. Ultimately, that's what this group has got to do, is produce a proposal in the form that is responds to the RFP, and that is the whole point of having this document, is that it's in a form that's suitable to the RFP. One of the things that strikes me about the document is that it's light to empty on section 4 and 5. Whilst we might think that 4 and 5 are dependent on 3, I think we did some previous work, and I think we could usefully attempt to populate areas in under 4 and 5 at this stage, and So I'll be reaching out to former coordinators of 4 and 5 and see if we can't bring some of that work that was done previously into the document. I mean, it goes back to a theme that was discussed previously, and that is that there was a lot of work under the previous structure working on pre-Singapore, and it's important to get that to ensure that that content isn't lost. So a reminder to the design teams, feel free to ask either the RFP coordinators that are working in so-called RFP coordinators or anyone from staff who's working on the document if you think there is relevant content previously that might help you, and we will I'll talk to the RFP coordinators from 4 and 5 and see if we can't either work with them and or with staff help to start to populate. Thank you, Cheryl. I note your point in the chat that the WikiWork archives the various RFP work, and that still stands as a basis. Agreed. Kind of really whether we start to map that into the proposal at this stage. Right. So if there is no other comment, Stefan, that's an old hand, I assume. I think that was your previous hand up. So if you could withdraw that, or yeah, that's great. Great, thank you. So, going on to the design team list, we have a current design team list which is in circulation with all of you, and is usefully mapped in this one pager. You can leave that. Well, okay, let's see. We can switch to that design team list. It's usefully mapped in the one pager which is in front of you here. Now, I was expecting to, at this point, go into some updates and hear from the different design team leads. So I'm wondering, Grace, if you can confirm if we've got Paul on phone at this stage.
Jonathan, this is Grace. I don't believe that Paul is on the line at this stage, but we'll keep reaching out to him.
Okay, then I will move straight on to B and see if we can, before we're working through those, has anyone got any, are there any gaps, clear gaps or points identified that anyone would like to flag in terms of the list? Because in some ways this list has been pushed onto the group as we've built the proposal, and so is there anyone got a suggestion that they feel is missing or that they'd like to see added at this point? And clearly, if not, please feel free to do so via the list, because we have the capacity to add suggested teams even if we're not working on them. The important point is to map the landscape, which is why this one page is so helpful in just visualizing.
Yes, thank you, Jonathan. Well, again, the escalation path is a good nominator for a lot of issues that maybe need to be taken into consideration in one graph, so to say. So maybe that's a good heading, the escalation of problems, because it relates to several design teams.
Yeah, good point. I think we've got that captured in Design Team M. It's subject to the scope, and I note that Chuck helpfully put out a scope for a design team to work on escalation issues and to scope out that. And I suspect that may be covered by that, but we need to know how that the template for that works. But yeah, good point, and I hope that will be covered by M. Thanks, Stefan. Let's move on then. Alan, sorry to have given you a false start, but if you could give us an update, and if you can say anything about your, I think we really need to push as much as possible, and perhaps you may find this difficult, but if at all possible, we'd like to be bringing some content and in particular from A, B, and C, as complete as content as possible by the end of next week. So, Alan, fire away, and let's see what you can tell us about.
Thank you, Jonathan. It's Alan Boomer for the record. Unfortunately, I don't have really much to report relative to Tuesday. We dealt with the minor matters of both getting a Wookiee and our mailing list, and there's been another change in the membership. Martin Boyle from Nominate. Actually, we're seeking to join DTC on the CSC. So really, that's happened. I'm still waiting for some feedback from my team members on a proposal I sent out on Monday. So hopefully I'll get something from them today or tomorrow. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thanks, Alan. And I just there's a question from Matthew that I just responded to in the chat relating to design team L separation mechanism and whether that is coherent with E7. And so in my view, it is. I think they're one and the same. And frankly, I think we need to slightly rename design team L so it's clear that they are the same. And thank you, Matthew, for volunteering to work on that. One of the things I'm going to come to in terms of methodology, I'll come to a couple of points on methodology when we talk about commissioning additional design. Thanks for that expression of interest, Matthew. Okay, so design team C, which is the work on the CSC, I know Donna is not on the call, and so I think, Stefan, you may be in a position to provide an update here. So let's go ahead and hear from you.
Okay, thank you, Jonathan. Well, my update is quite short. We had some 14 hours ago a confirmation of the group per se. Let's see if I could edit it in to paste it in into the chat. I hope that will work. Well, roughly. So we are now populated as a group, and we started talking about the interdependencies with other DTs, which is rather complicated in the case of CSC, as Donna has made a point of several times. So we haven't had very much result apart from being formulated or formed and nominated into a group. So we'll have our first meeting within short. Thank you.
Thanks, Stefan. And you're going to feel some pressure, if you haven't already, from me to make sure you get some content produced so that we've got something to work with in Istanbul. One thing I should flag to all of A, B, and C is that staff are willing to help with an initial draft. So, and that's one of the things that these groups sometimes struggle with is actually having an initial piece of content to work with. It's not to grab hold of it by staff, but if that offer is there, and I strongly encourage people to take advantage of it. It's very easy to reject or edit something, and the difference between producing content and editing and monitoring and modifying it can be quite substantial. So if any groups, either currently formed, A, B, or C, or to be formed, which we'll discuss in a moment, would like help in getting their initial content going, please ask. Please come back to us as soon as possible, and we will assist via staff with helping produce an initial draft so that you've got something of substance to work with right away. On to then item 3E, commissioning additional design teams. It's pretty clear from when you look at this, either this one pager or the more comprehensive list of design teams that we've got, that there are some other areas to work on in short order. And one of the things that struck myself and Lisa, as we were reviewing this, is that we've probably been a little bureaucratic in collectively in our setup of these design teams, in the sense that the idea is to kick things off and get moving right away. Some of the process points are valuable, but they needn't stop us getting started right away. So, for example, we've had Chuck now yesterday produce an indication of interest to at least lead the production of a template and get things going for Design Team M. We've now had a couple of people, Matthew and with help from James, indicate an interest and a willingness to kick things off with Design Team L. So I think I would encourage you strongly to grab, as those groups have done, grab an item and start to work on it. Say, staff will help. I feel the pressure, and I'd really like all of you to feel the pressure to get things moving and produce relevant content for the draft proposal insofar as we can do it right now. So that would be very good if people could do that. We'll tidy up, we'll sweep up afterwards and make sure that where relevant, the sort of bureaucratic or process-oriented steps are completed. But it feels a little bit that if we're going to talk about being agile, we might as well be agile and get on with doing it. So very much encourage you to do so. So we've got M and we've got L. And if it becomes, if someone puts their hand up like Matthew has just done to make a start on this, a reminder for the third or fourth time, staff will help you get a first draft going. If it feels too much to be a design team lead going through the process, flag it with us and we'll try and get someone else to assist you. But at the very least, to get things going, if we could have volunteers to get things off, and work on the template, that's very helpful. So there are a couple of others that are of interest in getting going that Lisa and I marked up as provisional priority ones, and they are as follows. There is design team, what have we got here? We've got, maybe we could switch to the design team list now and we can have a look at those. So design team D is the authorization function. That's not really set out as a priority one provisional. It would be great to get someone interested in getting some content going. I'd like to see if anyone's willing to, with staff help, pick that one up. Thanks, Cheryl. That's great. I see a hand up from Cheryl offering to help with that from next week. Well, we might even work with you this week, Cheryl, to start getting the ball rolling. And so that's very helpful. Thank you. Let me look down the list as well and see where we go next then. I think we've got probably design team F. Which is relationship between NTIA, IANA, and Root Zone Maintainer, could do with someone picking up. That's I won't intimidate you by saying it's a relatively challenging one, but I think all of these can potentially be, but there's no reason why we shouldn't make a decent start and get a straw man going to get some both a design template working. Anyone interested in grabbing F? And by the way, on list, if you could just give expressions of interest, please, once you've seen someone's grabbed it as a provisional lead or just prepared to work on the template, we're not going to force you to hang your coat on the hook of being a lead, but by all means, provide ex of interest on list to assist. That would be great as well. Sign up with expressions of interest to assist. Okay, I'll hold out on F. If I could ask staff for an action to call for a volunteer to be a design team lead on, or at least a provisional design team lead, someone who's prepared to work on the, at minimum, the scope of the template on F, we'll put an action out to the main list for that. What I'd like to look at is design team L, I think. Which we've got, so that's good. Matthew and James to kick that off, which is great. Design team M, I wanted to look at, which is Chuck's picked up. And remember, please feel free to jump in. And work on those, and we haven't set out, as I say, we're going to skip over some of the steps, including defining who should be on there, but in rapid sort of parallel fashion, we can start to shape what the ideal composition of the design team should be. Avery, thanks for volunteering on M. Stefan, is that a new hand?
Yes, it is. Thank you. I might volunteer on team M as well, after concluding the CSC, but I'm wondering if it isn't an overlap between design team M and design team C. Just a thought, but I eventually might contribute in this group. Thank you.
And that's a good question and a good point, and you'll see that in I don't bring it up again, Grace, but you'll see on Kurt's overview, one pager, C and M are immediately adjacent, and clearly that's one of the first jobs of whoever's scoping this, Chuck and colleagues, to ensure that it either doesn't overlap or to the extent that's properly communicated. Chuck, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan, and thanks, Stefan and Avery, for volunteering. The if you look at the description of M, I put in there the fact that there probably would have to be coordination between A and C at least, and maybe, who knows, maybe others, so that any duplication is coordinated and there's good collaboration there. But I think for the most part that M can be fairly specific where in terms of escalation procedures, whereas C is going to cover a much broader scope in terms of the functions of the CSC. So, but you're absolutely right, Stefan. There needs to be close coordination there, and that's identified in the description.
Steve, I see your Steve Crock. I see your point in the chat, and actually that's a really good point. And so, just to highlight that I'm not familiar with the red team concept, but there's certainly a plan, and that's commissioned already to analyze a sort of difference analysis between SAC 069 and the work that we are doing to make sure. That there's not a sort of gap analysis, if you like. And reading what you say, I think that's probably the point here as well. So I think that would be helpful to do something like that. That's a good point. I wonder if we might, I think just for the point of capturing that, it needn't be called a design team. Maybe we could call it a red team, but we could put it on the end of the design team list as a cross-check. So I'd like an action there to just put that at the bottom of the design team list called Red Team, which is to capture Steve's point in the chat there and make sure that's a sort of stress test stroke cross-check. Thanks, Steve. All right. Now, I personally feel that, where was it, N? I think N feels a little standalone to me, and that we could usefully do work on N as well. This is the periodic review function, which is, if you like, some form of independent check or quasi-independent check periodic check function. And I think regardless of whether this is done by an MRT or an external audit firm or anyone else who might do it, it feels to me that a periodic, let's say for argument's sake for the moment, annual check on a form of audit or periodic review makes a great deal of sense. Avri, I note your interest there. Do you think you're in a position to provisionally lead that via the drafting of a scope and with the help of staff? Great, thank you. So we'll this is like an auction. We'll give Avri the first right of refusal, subject to anyone else coming along to at least provisionally lead that drafting team. So that's good news. Good. So it feels to me like that is the landscape that, having discussed it with Lisa beforehand, that's ramped things up considerably, and I'm sure that's going to test all of us. And like I say, we at the outset, we've got a week to sort this out. So really, you should feel that you've got a 7-day sprint now to try and produce something of value that both takes account of any historic work, and we have a history here, make no mistake, with the work that's been done, and to aim to produce some relevant content in short order for next Thursday, Friday. I see the auction analogy might run for a little here. All right. I am satisfied that that's a useful pass over the design teams for the moment. I'm also not fearful of finishing this call early, so I'm going to keep us going. I'm not going to spread this out for the sake of it. I know some of you are up early, and we've now committed all of us to get on with some work. So to the extent that we recover any time in any of our schedules, that's good news. But make sure you do contribute here on audio or on chat if you do feel you need something to be got across to the group. Just check my notes and make sure I've covered everything I felt we needed to. Just give me one. Thanks for all that enthusiastic putting up your hands. It's great to see that everyone's prepared to roll up their sleeves and get on with this. Right, next then is to deal with the principles. So I'm going to give you a break from my voice and hand over to my able co-chair, Lisa Fu, to give you a sort of update, a brief update where we are and see if we can make any relevant progress now during the course of the meeting.
Thank you, Jonathan. It's Lisa Fu for the record. In front of you see the document that Martin Boyle sent out yesterday evening. And I know there has been some emails on the list, and I know that Andrew Sullivan wrote something that is not included in this, but since there are minor changes, and the one issue that he points out is not going to be discussed today. I don't think that's crucial to have those included in this. But I'd like to do a quick walkthrough of the changes that's been done to the document. And as I see it, and I don't know if you call it I or two, but 5-2 to 5-4, 6-2, 6-1, 9-1, and 10 are texts that we discussed during the calls and online. I'll read them aloud very quickly and see if there's any objections to those. So, and what I'd like us to do is to conclude on everything in this document except point 6.2, because that's still an outstanding issue that we need to solve between GAC and some of the members of the CWG. But okay, the first is 5.2, and that's the independence of accountability, and that's we added processes to this sentence. And I'll just make a quick pause and see if anyone is objecting to this addition. You'll have to be fast here because we need to close this down, and I think we've been discussing this for quite a while. So, okay. The next one is 5.3, where there's been some deletion and some additions of the text, and that is independence of policy from IANA now reads, the policy processes should be independent of the IANA functions operator. The operator's role is to implement changes in accordance with policy agreed through the relevant bottom-up policy process. And then there was a deletion from the last, the notice has been deleted. Anyone is objecting to this? Doesn't look like it. Okay, we move on. And here we have actually 5.56, and we need to find out if, I don't know, can everyone scroll, or am I the one having the control of the document, Grace, or can you scroll the document so we show...
The document is unsynced, so everyone can scroll through and zoom in.
Everyone can scroll. Okay. So we go to 5.6, and there we have appeals and redress, and there's an alternative wording proposed. Yes, and it says, appeals and redress. Any appeals process should be independent, robust, affordable, timely, provide binding redress open to affected parties, and be open to public scrutiny. Appeals should be limited to challenging the implementation of policy or process followed, not the policy itself. And this is a suggestion, as Martin points out, that suggests that this is not actually... really a principle. It's a new formulation to mirror this. So is anyone objecting to this? Nope, doesn't look like it. And in 6, we have deleted, the process should be automated for all routine functions. Any objection to this deletion? Doesn't look like it. And in 5.1, it's been changed to be predictable. Decisions are clearly rooted in agreed and applicable policy as set by the relevant policy body. Is anyone objecting to this? No. Doesn't look like it. And we actually have a footnote, too, that's been changed to. And this footnote is, I need to see where that belongs, because the wording is stakeholders are changed to members, and we have added conditions for consensus will need to be agreed appropriate for the group. Any objection to this? Nope, doesn't look like it. And then we have a change to 8.2, and that's a suggestion by Eric Arriata, and revision shown has been agreed offline with Eric. So now there is a new wording. And I don't know if anyone is, Eric, since you're the one suggesting and it's been revised with Martin, do you have anything to add? Oh, says he's okay with the new version. Thank you. And then we have the last, that's multi-stakeholderism, any proposal. Instead of must, it says should foster multi-stakeholder participation in future oversight of the IANA functions. And I know I forgot footnote one. I have to get back to that one, but I'd just like to finish that. Anyone is opposing to this? Avery, your hand is up. Avery, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. This is Aubrey speaking. I have one question about it, and that's, and perhaps it's a habit. When someone says should instead of must, they're indicating that there are cases in which it would not need to happen. And I'm wondering if we've given any thought to what that means. And because we're making a specific decision when we say, no, it's not. And perhaps this is, you know, an old habit from you know, a lifetime in IETF, where if you say must versus should, you need to give some explanation of what is the difference. What is the case in which it isn't a must? And we don't deal with that. So I'm a little concerned about the gap that opens up without having any explanation of when we would do something that didn't foster multi-stakeholder participation. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Ari. And since I see Mary is not on the call, and we will have 7.2 as an open issue, we'll keep this too, but we need to finish all the others. So I will note that this is an outstanding issue together with 7.2. Okay, so I will, so what I see is actually, I forgot the footnote one, and the footnote, there is a footnote saying the term IANA functions operator refers to the entity that provides the service independent of the organization that hosts it, currently IANA. And there is an alternative proposed by Sean saying the term IANA functions operator refers to the entity that provides the service. The entity is hosted by an organization, currently IANA, but operationally separated from other activities of the organization. Is there any thoughts on this? Any support for the alternative proposal? I don't know. Is Sean on the call? Doesn't look like it. Okay. So, yeah, I can see Sean sent his apologies. Then I'll leave this out as a minor issue, too, because I'd really like Sean to be on the call and explaining why his alternative. Yeah. So, any other thoughts, issues? I went through this very, very quickly, I know. So if you have any last comment, Chuck? Yes, go ahead, Chuck.
Thanks, Lisa. I'd like to make a suggestion on the principles, because I note that some key people aren't on the call. like Andrew, for example, which yesterday added some comments on this. For any issues that are where there's still some disagreement, I suggest that between now and our next meeting on Tuesday, that the people that are involved in those discussions get together. It doesn't need to be a design team per se, but if they would get together and try among them to come up with proposed final solutions so that we can wrap this up. I think there's only one or two or maybe three areas where there still seems to be some disagreement. But if we could ask those people that are involved in those discussions to work together before Tuesday to come up with some proposals that they would all support, I think that would help us wrap this one up. Anyway, I throw that out as an idea.
Thank you, Chuck. I think it's a very good idea. We are actually trying to solve many of these issues off list and then to have a concluded text as possible. But since we're still having 7-2 as an outstanding issue because of GAC, and I know and I understand that GAC has some feelings regarding this, we still might take a last go on it on this on the principles on Tuesday. But it's a good idea, and I will try and have a call made with the different persons and Martin Boyle, if possible, before Tuesday. And if it's not possible, we'll just solve it on the list. Thank you. Any other questions, remarks to this? Because, as I said, we will close it now, and because we don't want to reopen the principles all the time, we need to get going and have people focused on the design teams instead of the smaller issues on the principles, because I think we mainly agree on most what's in the principles. Okay. Doesn't seem like any other questions or remarks, so I'll leave the word back to you. The word back to you, Jonathan. Sorry.
Thanks. I think that's called an egg corn when you say something that's not quite correct, but it sounds correct. So giving the word back to me sounds about right, since I'll be speaking the word.
Sorry. That's how you say in Danish.
I'll take the word. Thank you. So let's pick up then on the next item. Thank you, Lisa. And that is to take an update from the client committee here. So we've got, I'm not sure if Martin, let me just check if Martin is on the call, but I think we've got all four members. Yes, Martin is. So I think we've got all four members of the client committee on the call. We had an initial briefing with the law firm, with Sidley, to try and give them some additional background, and that took place yesterday. I know there's an outstanding question over the role of ICANN Legal, and it's clearly something that's of significant concern and interest to the group, so that's something I would like us to revert to ICANN Legal and ask them what their understanding and expectation is, and then make sure we match that with the group's expectations. So it's not being ignored. At the moment, ICANN Legal is on the mailing list, as you know, and has the prospect to participate. Seems to me that any contribution they do make would be very helpful if it was recorded and transparent. And so I think we need to conclude that discussion as soon as possible so it doesn't get in the way of both the effective working of the client committee and, in fact, advice directly back to the group. So I think that's clearly an important and overarching point. But it did feel, and those of you who had the chance to listen to the diligence call yesterday, it did feel like it was a productive session and enhanced the understanding of the legal team of the issues and the scope that they need to be looking at. Greg, would you like to make any other comments or input in relation to the work of the client committee in the last few days or so?
Sure. Thank you, Jonathan. It's Greg Shatton for the record. In addition, first, we did have the call. It was a two-hour call. Went full-time with Sidley. In large part, we used the scoping document as a backbone for the discussion. Get clarified and gave background to how we got to where we got in many of those cases. We have our first of our regularly scheduled calls of the client committee today at 1400 UTC, and subject to adjustment, that would be a regular call, though we expect calls in addition to be scheduled based on need, but it's always good to have one regularly scheduled call at least as a lodestar for the group. We've also assembled a sort of a reading list of additional materials on top of those that they've already read and referred to in our overall bibliography that we think are the most important for them to make sure that they're fully familiar with. It doesn't mean they haven't looked at them, but it is kind of a list of the prime documents that we're dealing with. I did see a question in the chat about how the design teams could communicate legal questions that come up in the course of their work. I think it would make good sense as those come up to communicate them to the client committee. I'm not sure that we have a I'll ask staff whether there's an address to which that could be sent, since the mailing list of the client committee is has observer status for those who are not members. I would say there's no need to wait, so I would just send any of those questions to the four members of the design of the client committee: Jonathan, Lisa, Martin, Simon, and myself. Grace is suggesting send those to the CWG plenary list. That seems like a better suggestion. Just clearly mark them in the subject matter in some way that it's for a client committee. For the client committee from design team M, whatever M equals in that particular case. Thanks, Grace. Thanks, Jorge. So just since there are so many emails, it's just good to put something right in the subject so it catches my eye. And I think I've opened every email that's been sent to me. I have stars next to the ones I need to respond to. I think I've still got about 20 stars, but I'm trying to put out the stars. Other than that, I think that's about it for the client committee. We are, in the next moment or on today's call, probably going to discuss more particularly deliverables, make concrete their first assignment. According to our draft rules of engagement, actual assignments should be made in writing on the client committee list. So once we decide exactly what that assignment or instruction is and what the corresponding deliverable is, that'll be posted to the client committee list. Any of you who want to watch that, should sign up for observer status for that list. I think we'll also be discussing with them plans for their presence, contribution to the face-to-face. So I think that covers client committee, subject to any questions others may have or clarifications that other members of the client committee may have. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. I think you made one key point at the outset that this is not ad hoc work. The work that we did was in many ways scripted and guided by the approved scoping document from the CWG. And the role of the committee is a mechanical and effective interface of skilled people between the CWG and the law firm for the purposes of having an effective working relationship, but it is not to fly solo without due reference to the CWG. So I think that's a really important point. I wanted to just say, I suspect I know the answer, and we could even run a quick poll, which might be the most useful way of doing it. But to guide us in our decision, because we have to be mindful of usefulness, and of course cost is an issue as well that we have a responsibility to bear in mind. But I would like to poll the CWG as to their expectation or requirement, really expectation is probably a good way of putting it, I think, at the moment, expectation of the presence of one or more SIDLEAD professionals in Istanbul. I would like to poll you, so if you can just give a moment for Grace to bring this up so we get a feel for the expectations of the group as to the attendance in person of one or more of the SIDLEAD team in Istanbul. And while Grace sets up that poll, I'll just check if there. I can't see part of my screen if anyone else has a question. I'll answer Jorge's question in the chat, which says, how were these questions set up? And in preparation for the recruitment and appointment of the firm, we worked with the group to set up an initial scoping document. We were mindful that we didn't want this to completely constrain and limit the scope, but we needed to both brief in advance of appointment what the scope of the law firm would be, and so that's the case. All right, great. So I see the poll running there, and I think you should be mindful, like I am, and I'm sure the rest of the client committee is, of costs, practicality, and benefit, and weigh that up in your mind, in your individual minds, and so we see your collective thinking. And in that, we see a pretty overwhelming support, which kind of doesn't surprise me, but I wanted to make sure we did check this with you. So there's no votes as it stands, and we're looking at around 94% in favor of having the presence of one or more SIDLEAD professionals in Istanbul. So that's a useful barometer of opinion. So that's great to have. Thank you. We can close the poll now. I think that's sufficiently indicative of the strength of feeling. And James, I note that. I mean, you know, I'm always mindful of costs, but I note your point. It's an expensive meeting. We're flying a lot of people together, and so then the discretionary decision that's going to have to be taken place over the next while, and just to give you insight into that, it's what I mentioned at the outset, is what proportion of the meeting we give over to working directly on those matters for which we are seeking legal advice. And that's relatively delicate because it's about perceptions of importance and also the amount of useful content. So that's something that's work in progress that we need to still decide on, bearing in mind that our objective post Singapore is to produce a practical proposal with all of the inputs from the design teams, but not to lose sight of the overarching questions for which we need the legal advice. So that's the delicate balancing, and we'll work on that. But thanks for responding to that poll. Now, let's move on then to item 6, which is the any other business item, and there We have Apri. I'm not sure I understand your point in the chat there. Face to face, maybe I'm not able to. Yeah. So. Christopher requested.
If I may explain myself.
Please do, Avery, go ahead.
Yeah, what I was saying when we were talking, and this was, I started writing it when we're still talking about the sublead team. I think it's important that at least one be there to sort of have the face-to-face organic understanding of where we're at when you're talking about, you know, expenses and the amount of, you know, billable hours one gets for participating live in a meeting, and that, you know, perhaps others participating remotely is indeed sufficient. But I think at least one of the team needs to see our team, needs to see it in its organic sense. Thanks.
Sabrina, I'll confirm that was where I was headed in any event, but it may be that we believe we can get sufficiently substantial input, not necessarily formal advice, but input and interaction with the team that more than one makes good sense. So we'll work on that and exercise some judgment and consult with the group as much as possible in the next few days. Chuck?
Thanks, Jonathan. Just following up with Aubrey, and I tried to say this in the chat. I don't know if I said it too clearly, but if we have one person there, and I think she's right that one should be sufficient, but that depends on whether it's the right person. Just having one of their team there who is very specialized might not be that much value, but if we have someone who can is more involved in a general sense of the team, that I think would be valuable.
Well, Chuck, I think I can speak specifically to that, and if I don't cover it adequately, Greg can come in after that. I mean, I think there's really, in my mind, at least speaking personally, there are two objectives. One is kind of what was dealt with by Avery, I think, and that's getting a sense of the group and having a kind of observer. The second is a more detailed and comprehensive interaction on some of the specific issues. And there it's a delicate judgment because they need to have got up to speed sufficiently, and we're all mindful of the fact that the process ended a little later than we would like or a little too close to Istanbul, but they may well be able to produce some or at least have some substantive interaction as well. I know that Holly, who is playing a sort of leading coordination role, is just happens to be in London the week before and may well be able to come to Istanbul. But we're going to talk with Sidley, and it may end up that there is more than one for the reasons I've described. Greg, have I covered things, or would you like to add something?
I think that pretty much covers things. I would just say that, yeah, I get the sense that Holly, as the team lead, would likely be there, and that anybody else who would be nominated by them to come would not be a kind of an edge specialist, but rather somebody else who would be key to answering many of the questions that are in front of us. Further, I think that the other folks who are on the team who have particular areas of expertise should be available to join most, if not all, of the calls, not necessarily on a moment's notice, but if it seems, for instance, in a morning session that in the afternoon we're going to need to discuss trusts, for instance, that the trusts person should likely be able to be teed up. And indeed, as we set our agenda, we may also be able to work with Sidley to nominate particular people to participate remotely in particular sub-sessions. Lastly, I would just say that while I don't expect kind of formal legal advice to be delivered at the meeting, I think that I would be surprised if the lawyers were in listening mode. I would expect them to be fairly engaged in being in counseling mode and kind of, you know, working with us organically. Obviously, it will be a first go to some extent. Maybe we will have some of it next week on calls, but it's clearly the first major go in the face-to-face, so there'll be some familiarization time required, but I expect that as we get rolling, there'll be more of a organic teaming approach in that regard, just based on my own experience. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Greg. And but just to make it clear, we haven't discussed in any detail with them. We've just touched on the possibility of attending at this point and recognized that given the practicalities that needs to be solved quickly, we haven't talked about what the sort of nature of their contribution. So those are your and my opinions about how they might work with us. We haven't really discussed it in any detail at this point. Okay, let's move on to item six then, any other business. And we have a point from Avery there about whether we need another communication to the Accountability Cross-Community Working Group refining any of our issues and dependencies. Well, that's a really good question, and I don't feel I have an off-the-cuff answer to that. It feels like something we should be thinking about, and I'd love to set up a quick email thread on that or have any contributions now. And noting that we are due to meet with the co-chairs tomorrow. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. This is Avery speaking. The reason I brought it up, and perhaps the communications that have been going on between the chairs is adequate. I don't know. I can't judge it because it's not something that, you know, it is terribly transparent. And that's fine. But what I'm thinking is that, first of all, we did submit a set of issues that the CCWG still has on its table. Beyond that, so we did make them aware of a certain number of issues, and they still, to some sense, hold those in mind. Have any of those changed? Are there different nuances? Do we have different issues? Part of what's going to be happening, and since they meet the several days before this group meets, you know, one of the things that they're doing now is to try and basically get their definition of what is in Workstream 1 basically defined and to have that. So going into their decision on that, we should make sure that what we're presenting is, you know, a view, and presenting to the larger working group, not necessarily just the chairs, a picture of where we're at the moment in terms of our understanding of our dependencies on their work. Then they will be defining the Workstream 1 stuff, hopefully to the point of being nearly completed with that definition. And then, you know, can basically bring an output from them as an input to our meeting of and so a little bit more of the structuring. So one of the things that I was thinking about and had a little conversation with some of the support staff on is whether we need to take that note that's still out there to edit it, to change it, to what have to basically do an edit, pass through it, and add, change, delete whatever's necessary. Now perhaps, you know, that note no longer pertains at all, in which case we need to say that too. So that's really the perspective I'm looking at is more than the fine-tuned, are we coordinated issue that I'm sure that the chairs are doing well, is to bring it down a level to the two groups and make sure that the concerns of this group are clearly seen, you know, by that group. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. That's very welcome points. Just to be clear, I know there was nothing accusatory about your point on transparency. We did meet last Friday with the chairs, and it wasn't a particularly detailed meeting. There was one or more of the CCWG co-chairs missing. I think there might have only been one together with Lisa and I. So I'm hoping we'll get full participation of the five of us in the call tomorrow, and I think your points are well made and certainly well taken by me that we could usefully cross-check that and perhaps even test that with our group before that meeting. So thanks, that's a helpful point to just revisit that and make sure the scope of overlap and interaction is adequate and still appropriate. Lisa?
Thank you, Jonathan. And I agree that Avery raised a very important point. I actually misunderstood it in the beginning because it was about the communication. But I agree that we need to have a look at the actual issues and to see if we're overlapping or do we need to be cooperating on some of the issues. And but we will also meet with the chairs during the Istanbul meeting, so it would be very good to have something prepared before we meet with them in Istanbul. So I completely agree, and I think maybe it would also be very helpful to have a look at the design teams and the actual chart that Kurt Fritz made. It could be helpful. Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa. So, Grace, if we could capture that as an action, and I'm not sure who it's on. Reluctant to put it on myself and Lisa, but really there is an opportunity here to review the work of the CWG and the communications between the two groups, CWG and CCWG, to ensure that the interdependencies and interaction is current and up to date. Really, I think that's the point and still relevant. Greg, go ahead.
Thanks. It's Greg Shatton for the record. Just wanted to add a thought and another item on CCWG coordination. I think when you talk with the chairs, I think it's important to think about some kind of deliverable that can come back to us, ideally before Istanbul, but understanding that their meeting will take place just before ours, at least before our Istanbul meeting. Obviously, it's going to be an interim document, but at least giving us a kind of at least an up-to-date idea on what their thinking is, major items that they're discussing, kind of making sure that we are aligned. And, you know, some document that can be considered by all of us doesn't need to be highly formal documents, but it should exist. Secondly, I should note that I am acting as a liaison to the CCWG legal committee. So I'm trying to kind of keep things some level of consistency through that. They have not yet decided what counsel to hire. That's still an ongoing process, but will be resolved before Istanbul, I'm confident, for them. I should note that in the course of kind of identifying in an interim basis where they're at, identify at the very highest level for discussion with the lawyers, that three major subjects are in workstream one, which is the ability to recall members of the ICANN Board of Directors. That may be one, it may be all, but it's a general subject matter. That's one. Community empowerment over ICANN's management, whatever that form that might take. And then the third is one that may not be germane to our work, at least some people believe it should be in workstream one, which is limiting the scope of ICANN's activity. So that's kind of the high-level playback, to the legal committee of what they believe the lawyers should know is being thought of in workstream one. I wouldn't hold CCWG as a whole to that. I'm just playing back what I've seen, but I thought that would be useful. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. Is that list of three items captured anywhere sort of semi-formally, or is that just where is that sort of recorded at all, or is that just your view of what the three overarching points are?
That was captured, I think, in meeting
notes for the legal subteam at the most recent meeting.
Yeah, great. Well, to the extent that that's sort of an open document, I think it'd be good to have that shared with us as part of this coordination work. That'd be very useful.
I'll put the link in the list right now.
Wonderful. Thanks, Craig. All right. Are there any other open points under AOB that anyone would like to raise or capture? All right. Well, I will recognize that this feels like it's been a productive meet, at least in the sense that everyone's fired up to get going on some of these key design teams. Please let's carry on that spirit as we leave this meeting, especially since we're leaving half an hour earlier than our schedules might have suggested. Really need to get everyone knuckling down over the next week and producing content in preparation for a productive meeting. I mentioned costs. It is going to cost a substantial amount to get us all together in the face-to-face, and as one of your co-chairs, I'm very mindful of deploying those resources to good effect. So let's work productively and cooperatively together and with the best possible content we can to make sure we get the most out of that face-to-face meeting. Big commitment from all of us, both personally and in terms of the financial side. So good. Thank you very much for a productive meeting, and we'll look forward to seeing you again in a few days' time. And in the meantime, let's keep the pressure on all of us to keep the work going and get towards the light at the end of the tunnel that we all need to see. Thanks again.